Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's Gabe time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Happy Thursday. Welcome in May 18, 2023. And it's time for the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on Twitter at G_Kuhn71, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman, alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That is Connor Dunning on Twitter at CDunning929. Connor, how are we?
I'm in a great mood today.
Good, I'm glad.
Got a Scorsese movie trailer?
Oh, is that?
Oh,
yeah,
I'm feeling it.
You put me on. You put me on. What is it?
Killers of the Flower
Killers
Moon.
Of the Flower Moon, based on a book.
Based on a book. Based on real life. Based on history.
Yes, but based, yeah.
So.
Yes. A book based on history, and now we have a movie based on said book that is based on history. But no, you showed me that
it's going to rip, dude. It is going to rip
Leo
so
DiCaprio,
hard.
We have Leo DiCaprio, Brendan Fraser, Robert De Niro, and it's
Jesse Plemons.
It's a Scorsese film.
Marty.
Oh God! I know you're hyped up. I know that put you in a good mood. I am. This weekend, I told you about my trip over to Kansas City. We had a bachelor party that was completely null and void. It's not going to happen. It was supposed to be in Atlanta, but I'm headed to Kansas City this weekend. You know, this shouldn't be a surprise. No direct flights from Memphis to Kansas City. So I am connecting through DFW. Does that make sense? From a traveling standpoint. Makes no sense, right?
From a traveling standpoint, no.
Just none.
None.
At all. So I will be leaving at 6 a.m. on Saturday, arriving in Kansas City at 10 a.m. on Saturday, and then I have we have cocktail hour happening around 5, wedding around 6. I'm gonna have a loaded weekend here for 2 days. It's gonna be pretty rough, brother. But I might be a little tired on Monday, but you know, I can shake it off. We drink coffee, we drink caffeine in this business. I'll be good to go.
Oh yeah,
come Monday. But it's gonna be an interesting week of travel, weekend of travel for me. Also, Barbecue Fest night one. How are people doing out there? Looks like the weather's going to hang on, except Saturday, I believe, 70% chance of showers. Obviously, no thunderstorms, but hope everybody's enjoying themselves at Barbecue Fest. It's always fun. It's always fun this time of year, festival season.
New Tom Lee Park looks like it's...
It's holding up.
Doing well.
I was waiting for complaints, and we have yet to see complaints, and I enjoy that. Now, if the ground gets very wet and people start to not enjoy that fact on Saturday, we may hear some complaints. But, you know, we've been pretty relative. The complaint box is empty right this second. Now, we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly, Heat Win Game 1. Ja Morant's shoe is on hold. That's worth mentioning. Damian Lillard and the Blazers, they're thinking about moving that third pick to surround Dame, but Dame is on Twitter talking about potential trades. I'm going to try to sort through all that. I'll have to get to, and I have to ask you off the top, Connor. Have you been catching the news? I know it's an irrelevant American sports franchise. I understand that. But have you heard what's been going on with the Arizona Coyotes of the NHL?
Of course I haven't.
They're going to be playing, I'll just put it this way, they're going to be playing in a 5,000-seat stadium next year, and I think Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, and everybody else, they're looking to relocate them, probably. But they're going to be playing at Arizona State's stadium next year in the interim, because they had a stadium and a full plan put together that got denied by the voters of Tempe, Arizona, after they got kicked out of Glendale, Arizona, because Glendale, Arizona did not want to redo their lease. And it is it's the curious case of the Arizona Coyotes. I'm going to have to enlighten some folks. I know we don't talk about NHL a lot. I know we don't talk about the Arizona Coyotes. I don't know if they talk about the Arizona Coyotes outside of Arizona, but I'm going to have to enlighten you on this, because this story is just too good to pass on. But as far as guests are concerned, Jeff Calkins will join at 5 o'clock, Jeff Colgan Show on the Daily Memphian. Ryan Horvat at 6 o'clock from BetMGM tonight after a stomach bug kept him out last week. I hate a stomach bug. Stomach bugs, never.
Especially from the kids. Those are violent.
Yes, and laying on the floor in the bathroom is the only thing you can do.
Yes.
For any type of comfort. You just can't be comfortable. Moaning and groaning. You can't eat anything. Can't keep anything down. So I hope Ryan is recovering. We'll talk to him at 6 o'clock. We'll also get into the Blitz at 6:30. And in the Blitz, I talked about it a little yesterday, but I want to hop back into the Kelvin Sampson Bucks interview conversation. I'm going to preface it by saying I don't think Houston fans should be all that worried about losing their coach. Also, there's an athletic report that the Big 12 has put serious thought into bringing in another school. We've heard about Gonzaga, Fresno State. There's another school that I think Memphis fans will take exception to when we get to the Blitz. And then Western Conference Finals, Game 2 on the way tonight. Nuggets hold the 1-0 lead. A lot of people think the Lakers should feel good. We'll break that down around 5:30. But I have to start. The Heat take the 1-0 lead last night. Celtics, a 8.5-point favorite. The Heat win 123-116. I have to start by saying this is the same old Celtics. They play like they think they deserve to win. That's the best way I can put it. There's a certain amount of complacency that you see every single night from that team throughout these playoffs. Jason Tatum didn't want to shoot in the fourth quarter. Zero field goal attempts in the fourth quarter. They turn the ball over at will. Now, on the other side, the Heat play, like we've heard people in the past, like various people talk about, you know, they died and they saw Hades, and then they came back to life, and they're trying to change their life for the better because they were headed to Hades. That's how the Heat play. Like, they're trying to change their life for good. They have a second shot at life, and they want to make good by it. They're taking nothing for granted night to night. The Heat have been unreasonably good, and the fight they show is really what you have to point out. And Jimmy Butler is just the focal point of all of that fight. He sets the tone. He's the leader. And everybody follows. But the Celtics turnovers in the fourth. Jaylen Brown, I know he's going to get a supermax contract, but he can't dribble. He can't. Every time he has a take to the basket, the ball will get jarred loose. There'll be a scramble for it. And he had 6 turnovers in that game. Again, Jason Tatum, no field goal attempts in the fourth. I can't understand how consistently we get into conversations about the Celtics, who, in my opinion, considering what's left out there, have the best roster and probably the best talent left in the NBA playoffs right now. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford's been around forever. Robert Williams is a really good big. He can block shots. He can move around the perimeter. Marcus Smart is a good leader. Defensive player of the year last year. Derek White, Malcolm Brogdon were starters elsewhere in their careers. They have been great players throughout their careers. Yet, we talk about the Celtics falling short when it matters the most. And I do have to give credit where credit's due. Jimmy Butler is just, he's unstoppable. He's unstoppable right now. First half of every regular season, you wonder if he is falling off, if he's going to be the same player. Then you get in the second half, he starts to speed up a little bit, get toward the end of the season, he starts to put up big numbers again. Last night, another 35-5-5 game. And then he added 6 steals, 35-5-7, 6 steals. It felt like in that fourth quarter, if a pass could even be considered lazy, if you could even consider a pass lazy, he got his hands on it and took it the other way. He was phenomenal. Bam Adebayo. I think a lot of people get after him for some of his inconsistencies, but lately we've been seeing some consistent play from him. 28-5, he was locked in on both ends. He was attacking. He shot a high percentage from the field, 9-13. Bam Adebayo looks good. Heat, I have not seen them shoot like that this entire season. Just going to come out and say it. 16-31 from three, that's not real. That's just I don't think that will keep up. But at the same time, thinking about who they're getting those contributions from, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, combined last night, all undrafted players, 45 points, 9-17 from three. The Heat have the culture that they continue to delve into, and it works for the best every single time, it feels like. And then the third quarter Heat, 46 points. Most in any quarter in Heat postseason franchise history. Yeah.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Say that again. 46 points, most in any quarter in Heat postseason franchise history. And remember, I want people to remember what this offensive team looked like in the regular season. They were the worst offense in the NBA in the regular season. League low, NBA low in points per game. NBA low, 30 out of 30, bottom in the cellar of offensive basketball. Yet 46 points in that third quarter. And in that third quarter, I couldn't help but notice Joe Mazzulla, I know he keeps timeouts in his pocket, but he didn't take a single timeout amid that offensive barrage. What are you doing? It's like he has a suitcase that he takes home his unused timeouts to his family and sets it out on. What is he doing with those timeouts? I saw in the fourth quarter the Celtics start off on a 7-0 run. What did Eric Spoelstra do with his experience as a coach? Took a timeout about a minute and a half, 2 minutes into the fourth quarter. 7-0 run for the Celtics. And then it flipped and the Heat started getting back into it. You have to stop momentum at some point. And 46 points in a quarter for a team that was the worst offensive basketball team in the NBA. Call a timeout. See if you can get them out of their rhythm. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. But Joe Mazzulla is showing that he's a rookie head coach. Now, I'm going to make this comparison here because I think it's pretty apt. The Heat are a good service academy football team. I had experience against good service academy football teams, having played Navy. Navy, just year after year, the discipline they showed. You just don't know. I mean, 3 yard after 3 yards after 3 yards, you get to a fourth and one, you know they're going to convert. It's three more yards. There it is. You know it's coming at you, but you can't stop it. You can't stop it. The Heat grind you down. They bother you. They limit mistakes with talent, very similar to a good service academy football team, with talent that wasn't good enough for everyone else. Gabe Vincent was an undrafted player. Max Strus, undrafted player. Caleb Martin, undrafted player. Jimmy Butler, as a star in this league, has been on four separate teams. Finally has his forever home. But these are guys that no one else
Kevin Love.
Really... Kevin Love. These are guys that no one could find use for, yet the Heat find use for them, and they win ball games, and now they're in the Eastern Conference Finals up 1-0. There's nothing pretty or cute about what they do. Not a single thing. You know what is going to happen. Yet they just beat you with sheer will and limit the mistakes. It's incredible. You can doubt them all you want. Yeah, I have doubted them this entire playoff run. Hell, I after they barely beat the Bulls in the 8-seed game, I was wondering if they had any remote chance of winning a game against the Bucks. I thought it was a sweep. But betting against them is to your own demise at this point. It's insane what we're seeing them do night to night. And Jimmy Butler, I mean, hats off. Every single night he brings it.
They're like the island of misfit toys. When you go up and down that roster, you could really argue, you could say that there's not a single person on that team that you think that you would want for your number one guy on a team. I know Jimmy Butler, that maybe during the regular season you didn't want him, but during the playoffs he might be the best player in the playoffs right now other than Nikola Jokic. But when you look at him, it's like Kevin Love, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, Duncan Robinson. Like
right.
Caleb Martin, Cody Zeller, Kyle Lowry. It's guys that everyone had assumed were kind of past their moment, if you want to say. And they are coming out and they are fighting every single night like it's the last NBA game they're going to play. That is what I've been witnessing. Every time I watch it, it looks like a team that knows this might be their final shot to do this and that it might not have another opportunity. They are fighting for their life every single night.
Yep.
The Celtics are
not
like the biggest procrastinators in the NBA. It's like they don't give a damn until they have to. And it's really tough to watch. How is Jason Tatum not taking a fourth quarter shot? If you're Joe Mazzulla, stop thinking about the town that you watch four times a week.
That is one of the craziest stories going around the NBA
absolutely
media right now.
Insane.
He watches the town
four times a week.
What?
I mean, it's a good movie.
Listen, I think he's you know, he's got a screw loose, but that's different.
Who's Kyrie taking? But like, tell that to Jason Tatum. Hey, man, we need to go hurt somebody. Go out there and do it. It's just, if you're the head coach of the Boston Celtics and you have Jason Tatum and he hasn't shot a single time in the fourth quarter, scream at him. Yell at him.
And it's funny because Jason Tatum is one of the best contested jump shooters in the NBA. It's not like he needs space. Just tell him, put up some shots.
Just take a shot.
Yeah, please. And then late in that game, he jumped up and he got a travel because he got closed out on too hard. Zero field goals.
I mean,
there.
He was getting to
the
free throw line.
Is insane.
And he just completely disappeared from the game.
I'll put it this way. They need to get punched in the mouth to respond.
Yes, they. Until their back is against the wall, they don't
care. It's like if Mike Tyson was a counterpuncher. Like if Mike Tyson, all that power he has, he can go walk people down if he wants to, if he has the will, if he has the intensity, yet he lets people come after him. That's not how Mike Tyson fought, but it's basically, that's what the Celtics are to me. They have all this talent, all this power, all this offensive firepower, yet they have to get punched in the face before they do anything. And even on the defensive end, you've seen some complacency and they have to get punched in the mouth before they respond. It's bizarre. Now, granted, they're down 1-0. I still, without question, think the Celtics can win the series. But as you get into the finals against either the Lakers or the Nuggets, you're not going to be afforded that opportunity. You can't, I think the Heat aren't good enough necessarily to even to take advantage fully of this 1-0 lead. But as you're getting in against the Lakers or the Nuggets, Nikola Jokic, LeBron James, AD, Jamal Murray, whoever it is, those teams, you let them get up 1-0, they'll take off on you.
Yeah.
They'll take advantage of you giving them that opportunity.
And it's so weird because it's not like the Celtics don't know how to win. You know, like these guys have been here before. They understand the importance of this moment. I don't know if it's that the coaching gap is so big between Spoelstra and Mazzulla. It may be that. We definitely saw it last night. But there's just a preparation thing with the Celtics that every time they come out, it's like they try hard for two quarters. They get up to go into halftime, and then they kind of are like, we got it. And then they get punched in the mouth the
like
first
I
5 minutes
off
of the
top
third,
of this conversation.
And it's like they have no idea what to do.
Like I said off the top of this conversation, they play like they think they deserve to win.
It's so odd because they're so talented. And we've seen when they put the pieces together, they have an argument for being the best team in the NBA. I just don't see that consistency and that fire in them from game to game that tells me that they're going to be a champion.
And what angers me over the years with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, everybody has said, oh, well, they're young. Oh, they're growing up. They need to take their licks.
They're 25.
They're 24 and 26 now. And they've been in these situations time and time again. They've been to an NBA Finals. You can't keep blaming it on youth and inexperience because they're experienced as just about anybody besides LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Well, really, LeBron James in the rest of these playoffs. They have more experience than most teams. The excuses run out, and it really just falls on complacency, intensity, and maybe coaching, having a rookie coach. That's what it comes down to. And, I still think they're going to win this series. But last night is the one thing it's the one thing you couldn't do against this Heat team that's not near as talented as you is let them steal one from you at home.
Right. And I think you nailed it. It's frustrating to watch the Celtics because, I've always thought the Celtics this season had – the guys, the talent to win an NBA championship. They were there last year, and Jason Tatum was like, all I want to do is get back to the finals. And he has moments where he just seems like he's checked out of these games. And it's so odd because when you watch them and you see their roster, there are moments where you're like, oh my God, this is the best team in the NBA. And then you see a game like last night in the second half, and it's like a completely different team. It's like, what happened? It's like the bizarro Celtics came out to play the second half last night. And that's why it's been frustrating from game to game because you just don't know necessarily what you're going to get out of this team. Jaylen Brown, you know, he can't really dribble much, but it seems like he's been the most consistent guy from them from game to game. He comes out, he usually has
but
a good
man,
game.
He turns
the ball
over it.
Tatum will just disappear. And it's so odd because I don't know where it's coming from.
How in a year where in the offseason – you go grab Derek White. You have Malcolm Brogdon as the sixth man of the year.
Thank God for Brogdon.
You bring those guys in because last year you ran into a situation where you didn't have a comfortable ball handler at the end of games, a guy that could close and not turn the ball over. So you bring in Derek White and you bring in Malcolm Brogdon, and you run into the exact same issues at the end of games. In the fourth quarter, an insane amount of turnovers. Throwing just lazy passes into passing lanes that inevitably Jimmy Butler's going to pick off and take the other way for easy buckets. But you're running into the same thing when you tried to you addressed that. You addressed that this offseason, I thought.
So here's, I think, a discussion that Celtics fans need to get ready for. Marcus Smart has been great for y'all for many, many years. I thought he was really good last night. He was really good last night. He's had moments in these playoffs where he's been phenomenal. However, why is he
Didn't
playing
he have 10 assists in the first half?
He had but he finished with 11 overall. When you bring up the ball handler and the execution in the late game moments, that's where I would rather have Malcolm Brogdon or Derek White out there. I mean, Derek 100%. White's all defense. Malcolm Brogdon can score three levels. He can make the ball move. It just seems like to me that they look to Marcus Smart a little bit too much, and I don't know why.
And
like
that
Jason
was the
Tatum
problem
was like
last year in the finals.
Yes,
Jason Tatum
was like looking to Marcus Smart, like, what do we do? And it's like, you're the All-NBA guy. Like, you're the MVP candidate. Why are you looking to Marcus Smart to get things done? I think Marcus Smart is tremendous for culture. I think he's been tremendous for the Boston Celtics over the years. I think that ultimately, though, we are getting to a point where Marcus Smart is not preventing them from being successful, but the team is almost like too dependent on him. They're too reliant on him. We've seen timeouts where Joe Mazzulla is quite literally asking Marcus Smart what to do. He's like player coach right now. And there's no problem with that. But 34 minutes
I don't know. It just feels like he doesn't get it going.
Your point about Malcolm Brogdon and Derek White taking over in late game situations is I've been there. Like I have said that just about the entire year, certainly the entire playoffs. When you need someone to be very sure with the ball, and I know Malcolm Brogdon had his moment, I think in the 76ers series where he threw that ball away because he thought the shot clock was going out. But I've been banging that drum. Like in late game situations, man, you can have Marcus Smart on the floor probably. You'd have to make some lineup switches to figure out what works. But Malcolm Brogdon or Derek White ought to be the guys with the ball in their hands. I thought you brought them in for this exact situation, and they're not being used in the exact situation. So, again, I think the Celtics will win the series, but my gosh, it's become predictable. It's become predictable to see these lulls from the Celtics.
Right.
Also, you're not a YouTube TV subscriber, are you?
I am not.
I prayers out to our YouTube TV folks. Final minutes, the countrywide blackout in the final minutes of the first game of the Eastern Conference Finals.
I bet Boston was on fire.
Not great. And you know what's funny is they doubled their price from $35 a month to $73 a month. And this is the product that the YouTube
TV. They doubled the price?
Yeah, YouTube TV subscribers get. And they removed regional sports networks as well. So they doubled the price, removed regional sports networks, and now they're blacking out for the final minutes of an important Eastern Conference Finals game. Not great. And I think a lot of people brought up the NFL Sunday Ticket conversation. NFL Sunday Ticket moved their entire product to YouTube TV. People will not take as kindly if they're having rolling blackouts on their team every single week or in the playoffs, whatever it may be for the NFL. People are not going to be happy with that. I can tell you that right this second. So prayers out to our YouTube TV subscribers. I have a couple of friends who use it. But you know I stand by Xfinity every step of the way. Those are my peeps. Now let's go ahead and talk about John Morant. John Morant. We know that on Sunday, what transpired with the gun on Instagram Live, that's been the conversation all week. But we've been asking about endorsers, their response. Powerade put out a response that they stopped running ads of John Morant. And as of yesterday, there was supposed to be a release for a shoe, another colorway of the Ja 1s, the Hunger Ja 1s. They're no longer listed on the Nike or Finish Line apps. So we'll have to discuss. We'll have to discuss on the other side, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. I gotta say, I'm a big enjoyer. I like the town. But four times a week, isn't that an insane amount?
It's an insane amount.
That's insane. And, like, Joe Mazzulla, I've taken a liking to his sort of ridiculous approach in pressers, but it feels like he spends more time protecting his plan for the game than he does explaining what the plan was ultimately. You know what I mean? Have you heard him in some of his post-game pressers? It's a lot.
Yes,
it's a lot to handle, man.
Very much so.
Yeah. Those bug eyes staring right through those media members. It's a little much. It's a little much. Now,
do you know why I'm playing this song?
Why?
Dadgummit. Come on now. Scorsese.
Okay.
Stones.
Okay, there we go.
I need to just give you a whole movie history lesson.
Before you start playing your music. Just give me a piece of paper and tell me what the reference is.
Okay, I can do that.
That's what we got to get done.
I can do that.
That's what we got to get done. Now, as of yesterday, I mean, Ja talking points have just been coming hot and heavy all week, and we've done a lot of speculation about suspensions and everything else. But yesterday, per to Michael Cole, Ja Morant's Hunger Ja 1 sneakers are no longer listed on the Nike or Finish Line apps, which were expected to be released on May 25th. They're a different color wave. They're red. I think they have a black Nike symbol. But I think there's a lot of questions that are a little misplaced here. And I obviously we're doing more speculation, but this is really where it comes to. This is the business we're in. I think a lot of people are very concerned about Ja potentially losing that endorsement. And what I'd say to those people is I don't think you need to push that alarm quite yet. As far as endorsements are concerned, if something rises to the level of losing said endorsement, usually it's done right in the wake of said issue. Again, I'm not trying to in any way absolve Ja when I say there hasn't been any laws broken. There's been no law trouble. He hasn't been charged with anything. There's been no convictions. There's been no indictment. There's been nothing that has come out of Ja's corner from a law perspective. When I saw this news, though, it does sort of push the alarm of Ja's on very, very thin ice with a lot of his endorsements. We knew that considering what Powerade spokesperson said on Monday about pulling Ja's commercials, and they haven't played Ja's commercials since the incident in Denver. But with Nike in particular, they had him sign this deal knowing, obviously not knowing that things like this were going to come up, but they have an idea of who they're signing and what they want that person to act like. He has not acted in the best interest of Nike or Ja Ones, but I think ultimately what we're seeing here is Nike waiting, playing the waiting game, just waiting for the NBA, Adam Silver, the NBA Players Association to come together to talk about a suspension, and they're going to delay the sneaker release. I don't think that Ja is in a ridiculous amount of sort of pressure, if you will. I don't think he's in this spot where Nike is going to pull their endorsement deal altogether. But certainly Nike is in a holding pattern and trying to see how the rest of the market reacts. They're trying to see how the NBA reacts. They're trying to see how the Players Association reacts, and they're trying to see how Ja reacts. But I don't think right this second is the moment where they pull an endorsement.
Right. I agree with you. I think that they are in the wait and see type of mode. Like, to be honest, I think a lot of us are right now. And I don't think this is an incident that would make you pull an entire line or brand of shoes with the player permanently, in my opinion. Like you said, he didn't break a law. He didn't. At the end of the day, he made a bad decision on Instagram Live. And I think that, you know, they're going to wait and see if he can at least turn the tide a little bit. Like you said, move differently. Move differently. He doesn't necessarily have to make a giant character change. He just needs to, you know, be a little bit more conscious about his public image.
Character change, right? Like,
sure, yeah.
Right?
But, like, you know, I don't think ultimately they're not going to be
it's
like...
It's about public image and how people view you.
I think they care more about, can you control yourself on social media and protect the brand? That's what they care about. They care about the brand.
Yes.
So ultimately, they're going to wait and see how much damage is this brand going to take. And at the end of the day, I think it'll be hopefully just a major slap on the wrist a little bit, and then we move on from it, and those shoes will be back up, and everybody can have fun.
I've seen a lot of arguments to the contrary about Kyrie Irving, for example. He got his shoe deal pulled right after he posted a link to a book, or a movie, I should say, a film that has ridiculously anti-Semitic tropes in it. What I would say to those people, obviously it's not against the law. It's a miserable look. It's just an unbelievably stupid thing to do that Kyrie Irving did. But also I would tell those people, do you not remember what Kyrie Irving said about his Nike shoes and what he said about his Nike deal? He drug them through the mud. He said, they don't give me creative control. He doesn't like the shoes. He came out in public to the press and said he hated the shoes that Nike was putting out on his behalf. So I think this is a slightly different situation, and the fact that Ja has not expressed that to Nike at this point, nor do I think he's going to express that to Nike at this moment. But this is what comes with the territory, man. If you're going to put yourself and your public image in the line of fire, the endorsement deals, everything in your life could fall in. It really could. And I think, again, as with a lot of these situations with Ja Morant, I think that these are warning shots. These are telling
you,
hey, brother, you're on thin ice. You can't keep moving the way you're moving. Change it right now, or you're going to lose everything that you've built up to have at this point in your career. It's a pretty simple message that I think his endorsers are sending, that the NBA is sending. And he's got to fall in line, and he's got to find a way to repair the bridges that may be sort of broken at this moment, right? So it's on Josh still. And like I said yesterday, it's not about, and like you just said, it's not about a massive character change. It's about playing the game and not putting yourself in harm's way.
Protect
consistently.
The brand. Just make sure that their brands are protected.
And it's not for Josh. This is a guy who was a Murray State recruit. He spent 2 years in college. Like, I don't know if he's fully used to yet the responsibility of the brand that he now has.
Sure.
The image he now has. So, like, a lot of these things, while I don't think they're fully understandable, you can kind of get on that side of at least understanding a tad bit of the mindset and the reason these things have occurred. But Ja just has to get used to it. And again, it's losing, it's living, it's learning, and hopefully he can do that.
Yes, as Giannis Antetokounmpo said.
Give me the quote, Connor.
Steps to success.
It's just steps to success.
It's just steps to success. But no, to your point, man, and I understand why people bring up Kyrie with this situation. I think it's apples to oranges, to be quite honest.
Yes.
Though, Kyrie had years of controversial stuff going on in the media. He had years of battles with Nike about the shoes.
He told them that they sucked.
Right. So in my opinion, this is like you get three strikes and you're out. He's on strike two.
Yes.
And this is them, like you said, this is a warning shot. They are saying, hey, man, get it together. All right?
Yep.
We stuck by you the first time.
We're likely going to stick by you. We're likely going to stick by you, but that ice.
Prove it to us.
That ice is thin.
Yes, it is.
So just make sure we stay on the straight and narrow for the time being. So we'll see if Ja can do that. I mean, with all these things, we'll see if Ja can get back right.
I hope
his
he can.
Image repaired.
Because I just
and
Googled
image
it.
Repair takes years. It takes years.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I can't lie. I just Googled it. Ja Morant shoes, Nike. Clicked on the link. Sorry, we could not find the page. That does not feel good.
No,
as a fan, you know that does. You don't want that to be. You want to see John up there. You want to see the Grizzlies being promoted. You want to see the city being promoted. Like all of that kind of plays into this. So hopefully, and I do believe he will move differently. There might not be a major, major character change, but I also don't know if a major, major character change is necessary. Just get back to who you are, Ja.
Yeah,
get back
to who you are. In the meantime, endorsers could pause with him
and
then pick back up. But it's on him.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
To make sure they pick back up, simply put. Also today, I have to mention Blazers and that third pick. They've been talking about shopping it and trying to surround Dame. I've seen that story before. We've discussed that. They've tried to do that before. Yusuf Nurkic, nothing works. Nothing has worked for Portland in trying to surround Damian Lillard with talent. And yes, they got to Western Conference Finals once, but that's all we can point to. That's it. There's been nothing else. Every other year has either been losing record, trying to fight your way into the play-in, so on and so forth. But today he was on Twitter, and he was responding, quote-tweeting somebody, a random person on Twitter, saying, "Muting all of you that are undervaluing the Blazers' number 3 pick and insisting on trading Dame. What's wrong with you all? You think that we suffered this long to go out like that? Goodbye." Dame Lillard goes in and quote-tweets it and says, "If the fans want to trade me, start the petition and send it in." Dame, I think we're at this point in your career where if you want to ask for a trade, just ask for it, man.
Just do it.
Please.
Dude. Come
like,
on.
Just, I know that your entire career has been not running away from the grind. We respect you for it. But at some point, if you're unhappy with your situation, if you don't trust them to use that third pick to go find guys to surround you, and you shouldn't have trust considering it hasn't happened to this point, ask for a damn trade. No one's going to blame you. No one's going to be mad at you. No one's going to care. No one's going to care. Everyone will understand. But all the going on Twitter and saying, if the fans want to trade me, start the petition. How about you ask for a trade?
He's been doing this
for years. How about you move on?
He's been doing this for
Don't
years.
You get the sense, though, that we're closer than we ever have been
moving
from Portland?
And that's why I found that tweet, to be quite honest, extremely annoying. Because I love Dame's game. Love him. The dude is extremely dramatic off the court behind closed doors. Like, all of the time, we have heard rumors of Dame wanting out. He doesn't think it's working with CJ. He doesn't like the roster, all of these things. But hey, man, Dame doesn't run from the grind. So anytime you ask him about it in a press or anything like that, he acts as if you've insulted his family.
But he will make it clear that he's not happy with his situation publicly, and he's not convinced that the Blazers will do the right thing.
But when you ask him about it, he'll be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Portland's my city. I don't run from the grind. It's like, Dame, man, you've been leaking stuff, asking out for years now.
But all these, that's the point I'm getting to.
If you're
hinting consistently at leaving Portland, just ask for the damn trade and get this over with. And the Blazers, I don't know why they wouldn't think about doing it.
You should do it.
You have Anfernee Simons. You have Shaedon Sharpe. You have a young core that you could potentially move on. If you get enough picks and if you get enough assets in a haul for Dame Lillard, you could potentially get on a rebuilding trajectory. And that's what you should have probably been on for the past few years. You have the chance now. I don't know why the Blazers wouldn't take that chance. I think it should be done. It needs to be done. And the Blazers have sat around in purgatory for too long.
And in that tweet, it talked about, we have suffered too long to just give up. You've suffered that long because you won't do anything
to actually rebuild.
Yes, you must die to rebuild. You have to burn up so you can rise from the ashes like a phoenix. That's what they have to do up in Portland. If you just extend this thing with Dame, you're extending maybe getting to the Western Conference Finals, maybe getting to the second round.
No, you're not getting to the top of the mountain with Dame.
You're just not.
Let me pick that apart a little bit. You're not maybe getting to the Western Conference Finals.
I was being nice.
You're not maybe coming. You're not close.
You're extending your purgatory, like you said. You're extending it. So get it over with. It's painful. Dame has had an amazing run there. You could argue he is the best Blazer of all time, and I would Clyde and Dame up there. But, you know, the city has given him what he needs, and he has given the city what they need. It is time for them to move on. It is time for the separation to happen. We see it all the time in the NBA. Dude, you're not going to get credit for sticking around and then complaining to the media that, oh, well, I don't want to be traded, but I do want to be traded. Make a decision. Be adults about it. Move on from them so the fan base can move on. The team can move on. Him staying there too long is going to hurt the team.
And Dame can move on.
Go get a ring, dude. Go get a ring.
Yeah. Now, speaking of moving on, a lot of people don't know about the Arizona Coyotes. I would argue that a lot of people forget they exist. I'd say, you know, when we talk about the least relevant franchises in American sports and the major sports, NHL, NBA, NFL, and MLB, I think they're right there at the top of the least relevant franchises, the Arizona Coyotes. But they may need to move on soon, speaking of moving on. And I'm going to tell you about the curious case of the Arizona Coyotes. We've had a lot of news around them in the past week, and now they're going to look to be forced next year into playing in a 5,000-seat stadium on the campus of Arizona State while the NHL decides what to do next with them. I have to discuss this on the other side, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's time to talk about the curious case of the Arizona Coyotes. Welcome in. Welcome back in. Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And I have to start with a question. When was the last time they were relevant? I have the quick answer, though, for that as well. Never. They've never been relevant. I think a lot of people still are wondering, are they the Phoenix Coyotes? Because they started as the Phoenix Coyotes. Neither the Arizona Coyotes, but yes, they are part of the NHL. They're one of the 32 teams in the NHL. You actually seem to forget they exist, and there's a reason for that. Because as Frank Saravalli put it, he's from the Daily Faceoff. He works for Bally Sports. He wrote about this. I learned a couple of interesting facts by reading his work. The Coyotes have had more bankruptcies than playoff series wins in their history in Arizona. And also, they have nearly as many postseason appearances, 9, as ownership changes, 7. So there's a reason that they have not been successful. Yet, throughout the process of them being in Arizona and potentially finding a new home, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman has been hell-bent on keeping them in Arizona, keeping hockey in Arizona. And the reason I bring them up, 2 days ago, voters in Tempe, Arizona, voted on propositions 301, 302, and 303. They all surrounded a new arena and an entertainment district in the city. Right? Voters should be, we should be happy about it. You should be excited. Okay, we can bring something to Tempe that not a lot of people have. I mean, coming from St. Louis, what they've done with Ballpark Village and revamping everything around the Cardinal Stadium, everyone loves it. Everyone enjoys it. So this new entertainment district would be 2 hotels, 3,500-person theater, up to 1,995 residential units. And also, the plan would create 6,900 permanent jobs, 6,900 permanent jobs, and a tax benefit of what is being projected to be $215 billion over the next 30 years. Even with all of that, sounds exciting, right? Right, Connor Dunning? Sounds like it would be exciting for the city of Tempe.
Sounds exciting.
Each proposition, 301, 302, and 303, was denied. They were all denied at a 56% plus rate.
Yikes.
Nearly 60% of the people in Tempe voted against it. And again, this is a $2.1 billion development. And this is where the kicker comes in. $1.9 billion was proposed in private funds. In private funds of a $2.1 billion development. Meaning, in theory, only $200 million was needed in governmental funds or tax dollars. And they still denied it. There's an alarm there. There's an alarm there. Now, one, I think it's clear we need to do a case study on the fine folks at Tempe, Arizona. It's pretty damn clear they don't want the Coyotes or NHL hockey. I
mean, right.
That's very apparent. But here's the kicker here. Let me tell you what was on the plot of land at question. The plot of land that they wanted to build on, the land at question for the Stadium Entertainment District proposal, Connor Dunning, it was a landfill. It's a landfill! The plan was to replace a landfill with a state-of-the-art stadium and an entertainment district, and the citizens of good Tempe, Arizona, denied it. They quite literally picked trash. Thrown away diapers over an NHL team. A landfill that they're going to have to clean up anyway. The proposal was for the Coyotes with $1.9 billion worth of private funds to come in, get rid of the landfill, all that trash, honestly clean up hazardous waste that could potentially hurt you down the line. They were going to clean that up. State-of-the-art arena, state-of-the-art entertainment district in the city of Tempe. And 60% of the voters in Tempe, Arizona said, no, we'll keep the landfill. Landfill's there. We want the dirty diapers. We want all your everything there. We want it. It's fine. You're throwing away food. You're rotten food. Everything. Keep that landfill there. And I just can't get over this. And now we've resorted to the Arizona Coyotes going on their Instagram, putting out a poll, and they have asked all of their fans, which clearly doesn't seem to be a whole lot of them, they say, we want to hear from you. Where should the Coyotes build their new home, Mesa, Scottsdale, Chandler, or Gilbert? They've resorted to this. We need to do a case study on the folks in Tempe, Arizona. But even beyond that, it's just clear they don't want NHL there. The city, I mean, in Arizona, the city of Glendale didn't renew their lease when they had a chance to. It ended in 2022. It ended at the end of this year. And they didn't want them back in Glendale. The attendance is sad. I get that they're an irrelevant franchise. They've been bottom four in the last decade plus. So now the Arizona Coyotes, with no arena plan, an unrenewed lease where they were previously playing, are prepping to hold over a year in Mullet Arena on Arizona State's campus. Arizona State's hockey arena. 5,000 seats.
Did you say Mullet Arena?
Mullet Arena.
Incredible.
Yes.
Incredible.
5,000 seats. It's kind of fitting, isn't it? Fitting name.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.